Thursday, June 12th. This is Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. Cherry.
Yes.
For the last 9 months, you've been true to your school. But now it's June, summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to seek the warmth of the sun and have some fun. God only knows we could use it. Wouldn't it be nice to find a hidden spot with some good vibrations?
I like hidden spots.
A place a little closer than Kokomo, a place that doesn't require you to go away for a while. A place you could reach in your little deuce coupe in maybe just a couple of hours.
Lyrics, yes.
Lucky for us, we've got a couple folks on the show today who love to get around. Perhaps they'll take us on a surfing safari or not. Either way, don't worry, baby. I know there's an answer to summer boredom. And we've got it today with our Studio 2 Summer Day Trip Spectacular. Here's how it works.
You threw spectacular on there.
Yeah, why not?
I like it.
Why not? Because it's going to be spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we're going to do this hour. We have a couple of great guests. We're going to talk about day trip-ish spots that are near our region, like 2 to 3 hour drive. We've got three categories, okay? Food and drink.
3 hour drive, yes.
Three is, what's that, Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, a little song there.
the category is food and drink, the great outdoors, mm-hmm. and beating the heat. So we're looking for spots, 90 minutes to 3 hours away. In one of those three categories, we're going to give our picks. We have a couple great guests. They're going to give their picks. And we want your picks as well. The whole idea is this is like a summer day trip or maybe a summer weekend trip.
Mm-hmm. We'll get away.
That you've enjoyed and you want others to enjoy. Okay, so give us a call, 888-477-9499. You can email studio2@whyy.org. Or if you're on YouTube, hello, drop a comment right there in the chat.
And I will be taking notes because that's what I want to do on the weekend. I want to kind of explore the region,
right.
get out of the city a little bit, maybe check out another city. We'll do that. And also, it's Thursday, which means it's DJ of the day. And this is your chance, I think, to get real creative,
yes.
and share some of your getaway songs. Think vacation. You could think about hiking trail, good food. It's so many things you can think about.
It's a wide open road today.
And so I hope you do. Get those choices in, those song choices in by 12:30. You can email studio2@whyy.org. And producer Paige will be the decision maker.
We'll pick the winner. We'll go out on a song of one of yours choosing. But again, we want your choices mm-hmm. for best summer day trips, quick getaways. And by the way, one stipulation.
Oh, yeah.
No Jersey Shore.
Please.
We're trying to get off the beaten path a little bit here. No Jersey Shore.
And I know. I'm not a shore fan. It's just because we want
to
go places.
It's no shade to the shore.
Yeah, no shade to the shore.
It's no shade to the shore. We're just trying to get a little bit off of the main areas people go mm-hmm. in the summertime. Okay, so before we get to all that, a trio of local news stories, Cherry, you're going to start us off.
Yes. A Lower Merion High School student says that they were forced to remove a keffiyeh at the school's graduation ceremony at Villanova last week, and that the student, they say they were escorted out of the ceremony by police. Even after they removed that headscarf, though, they said they were not let back into the building until they consented to be searched. And after some negotiations between the school officials and their mother, the student was allowed to watch the ceremony only via a live stream from a separate area. They were monitored by police at that time, and they were only allowed to attend the actual ceremony when their name was called and just long enough to get their diploma. You're probably wondering why all this police involvement. Well, Lower Merion High School administrators had sent a letter to graduates telling them that they were to avoid disruptions or displays that would distract from the inclusiveness of the event, including any political or personal statements. The senior said that on their Instagram that they were told that the headscarf was a political statement. Now, a keffiyeh is a traditional Middle Eastern headdress, and for some, it has been associated with Palestinian identity and the struggle for Palestinian rights. And the school said that, you know, that headscarf was a political statement. The young man, or a young person, I should say, said that they had worn that headscarf to school. They had worn it to school-related events and had no problem. So they thought that it would be okay to wear it to graduation. This raises a whole bunch of questions. Because according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, people who attended that graduation said that they did see people they're wearing some identifiers that link them to Israel or support of the Israeli hostages, like a yellow ribbon. Some said that folks had on the Israeli flag or little flags or something. There are no pictures of that, but they felt like that this may have been a double standard. Your thoughts, Avi?
Yeah, I mean, this is why policies like this are so difficult to enforce. What is a political statement? I mean, we could go through a million hypotheticals on this. It also gets into the question of, like, what is a high school graduation? Is it a celebration of a collective achievement by a class in which uniformity and conformity is sort of the standard? Or is it a celebration of individual achievement and individual expression should be allowed? You know, I tend to lean toward the latter. I think it's about the graduates and how they feel and hopefully allowing them to express themselves on this big day. But I think this is such a difficult standard to enforce. And I guess I would ask the folks, we don't know what the reaction would have been here because the student wasn't even allowed on the stage. Mm-hmm. But like, I would imagine you go to a high school graduation, you assume some of the kids graduating have differing political beliefs than you. So I don't know why that would so offend. But, you know, again, I've not been in that position of being a parent of a graduate. So I think it's a very, very difficult standard to enforce. And I'm not quite sure what's missing. This is Inquirer reporting, by the way, is why Lower Merion decided to do that this year.
And I will say that, you know, there are usually
I would love to hear that logic.
Lots of really strict rules around graduations, you know, no dancing, you can only wear certain colors, no outbursts. But this, you know, this issue of political statement raises a lot of First Amendment issues, you know, about what is a political statement, who makes that decision on what a political statement is. And so, you know, you just hope that this young person wasn't traumatized by this on graduation day, to be escorted out by police, to be searched by police. That can be very traumatizing, especially on a milestone moment.
Sure. I mean, there's, you know, legal precedent going back to the Vietnam era. Yeah. That your rights, your free speech rights don't end at the schoolhouse door.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to consider. Story number two. This is sort of like the coda of a story that we've been following for a long time.
Yeah.
Sherry.
We've been talking about politics and political statements. Well, Governor Phil Murphy's visions of wind turbines off the coast of the Jersey Shore, very likely dead in the water. This after Atlantic Shores, the last company in New Jersey that was pursuing a wind farm project off the Jersey Shore, they filed a request with the state to essentially kill the project. With the Trump administration opposing the effort, Atlantic Shores claimed political and economic forces made the project untenable. We're talking about political winds shifting here. I mean, Democratic Governor Phil Murphy put a lot of support behind it. He was backed up by the Biden administration. And for a while, it kind of seemed like it was going to move forward. There had been a lot of resistance. We talked about this on the show multiple times. You know, environmental groups, they said, look, you know, whales are dying. They said this would cause problems with aquatic life, even though the scientific report showed that,
But there were plenty of environmental groups, by the way, that backed this, making sure.
And so there were a coalition of folks who were against it. And they said, look, we're going to industrialize the ocean. It could harm wildlife. It could take away from the beauty of the shore. But it looks like now this project will very likely not move forward.
At least for now. Mm-hmm. They are leaving the door open for some time down the road. But obviously, with the administration right now in Washington being hostile to this project, these projects are already very complicated. We saw one
expensive.
Exactly. Yeah. We saw one that the company pulled out just because of cost, right? Mm-hmm. It was inflation and supply chains and all that. So these are already hard to pull off. Then you have a hostile administration in Washington, even harder to pull off. This shows, by the way, the power of delay as a resistance tactic in this case, because the people who were opposed this use lawsuits and other things to just string it along long enough until sort of the political and economic winds shifted in their favor. And I think that's why it's so hard in many cases to begin and to consummate our energy transformation, because with the system we have in this country and this democratic system, pockets of local resistance just have a lot of power.
And by the way, some of this was fueled. The resistance was fueled by the fossil fuel industry.
Absolutely.
I had to say that. So they want to keep the status quo. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
One more story to get to. We alluded to this on yesterday's show. Pew Charitable Trust just released a survey of Philadelphians, a poll. It's a very rare chance to get professional polling about how Philadelphia residents feel on major issues. We mentioned yesterday, 63% of Philadelphians told Pew they approve of the job Mayor Sherelle Parker is doing. That's a very high mark. Mm-hmm. But there was lots of other data embedded in this poll from Pew Charitable Trust. Mm-hmm. Anything that stood out to you, Cherry? Because it's pretty fascinating.
Well, one thing that stood out to me was it was very optimistic. You know, people had very positive views. I mean, 60% of people say the city is on the right track. 65% of residents said Philly is a good place to live. Majority of Philadelphians, almost 60%, reported that Philadelphia's best days are ahead. I was like, wow, this is very positive. I know some other things stood out to you as well.
That's what I was going to point to, too. 59% of Philadelphians say the city is on the right track, which is way up from 36% in 2022, which is the last time they did this survey. And, you know, if we clip this and put this online, of course, all the comments would be Philly sucks, blah, blah, blah.
Not today.
If you just listen to the noise on social media, mm-hmm. you get the sense that forever that Philadelphia is some apocalyptic hellscape. Of course, it has problems, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It has problems. But it's when you actually just ask regular folks how they feel
they
about
like
the city,
it.
You'll often get a very different perspective. And it's worth noting and remembering that.
Yeah.
And data like this helps us have a framework for that.
I will say the only negative thing that stood out is finances. Percentage of people with good or excellent financial situation is down, especially among women. About half of women a few years ago had a decent financial situation. Now it's down to about 36%. So people want the coin to get better.
You don't want to spend a lot of coin, though, always on your vacation. So maybe a day trip is in order. And that's what we're going to talk about on the other side of this break. Our favorite spots within a 3-hour drive for a little summer trip. Stick with us. This is Studio 2.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money Podcast from NPR.
Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. In the immortal words of Alice Cooper, school's out for summer. And the open road beckons. You may have the time and money for a cross-country trek or a Mediterranean cruise, but if you don't, fear not, we've got you covered.
Today on Studio 2, we're going to tell you about our favorite spots for a quick day trip or maybe a weekend getaway. These are places mostly outside the Delaware Valley, but not too far. We're talking about hidden gems within a 3-hour drive.
And by the way, banging the table on this one, no Jersey Shore.
No.
We're getting off the shore today, okay? Cherry and I are going to give our favorites in 3 categories: best food, best outdoorsy spots, and best places to beat the heat. We've also got a pair of well-traveled experts to help us this hour. Jason Nark is a reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer who writes about the outdoors in rural parts of PA and New Jersey. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. We also have Maddie Schweitzer-LeMay, a freelance food, beverage, and travel writer and the founder of Tiny Table Tours. I love a good alliteration. Maddie, welcome to Studio 2.
Thanks for having me.
And I got my pen and some paper because I want to take notes. By the way, we want to make this show as comprehensive as possible, so we need your suggestions too. Listeners, folks watching on YouTube, the question of the day is, what are the best spots to visit this summer within a 3-hour drive? And the categories, again, food and drink, the great outdoors, and beating the heat. The number to call is 888-477-9499. The email is studio2@whyy.org. And if you're watching online on YouTube, leave those suggestions in the live stream chat.
All right, let's get a caller in at the top. Mm-hmm. This is Danny from South Philly who's got a recommendation for us. Danny, I want to get out of town this summer. Where are you taking me?
Less than an hour right across the bridge into Jersey to the Pine Barrens. Some of the most beautiful landscape in the area, totally overlooked. You drive from Cherry Hill to the shore, and you're going to miss it. The Pine Barrens has swimming holes to beat the heat, hikes to get outside, amazing lunch spots like Sweet Amalia's, the Lunchbox. I won't give up any of my favorite secret swimming holes, but get out to the Pine Barrens and just explore. It's a day trip. It's what makes living in Philly during the summer bearable for me.
I love it.
People know about it. The more people who can preserve it.
Notice Danny's trying to keep his swimming hole secret.
I'm blowing up the
spot. What's up with that?
We're going off script already. Jason Nark, I bet you know about some of these swimming holes. I'm putting you on the spot. You know where I can go swimming in the Pine Barrens?
Yeah, there's a great spot behind a church. I don't really have directions per se. I don't want anyone to get lost in the Pine Barrens. But
All right. I'm looking for that church. There's a church
near Batstow.
Batstow. Yeah. Okay. I'm looking for that church. Sorry, Danny. So, by the way, we're going to start with the category of food. And Danny did kind of steal your thunder.
He totally scooped me. Dude.
Yeah.
Danny, okay. What's up?
So, Maddie, for food, you were going to take us to Sweet Amalia Market, right? Tell us about this spot.
Yes. So, Sweet Amalia is a market that's kind of on the way to the Jersey Shore. I'm so sorry to tell you. Every time I drive out there, I stop there. You can get amazing barbecued oysters, fried oysters. It's based on an oyster farm or connected to an oyster farm. So what Danny maybe doesn't know is that in addition to going to the market where you can like have all these amazing foods, get takeout, like eat on the way to the shore, they also offer oyster farm tours. So you can book on their website. It's out at the shore, out in Cape May, and you spend like 90 minutes tromping around at their oyster farm. You get a shucking lesson. You get to eat oysters like straight out of the ocean, which if you've never done, I really, really recommend. And I believe you can also add on lunch. So
you can make it a whole day.
You can make it a whole day.
Wait, sorry. I have to ask. You harvest the oyster, you just eat it right there?
Yeah.
And you can. I didn't know you could do that.
That's when you really taste the ocean.
Yeah, you just shuck, you know.
Yeah, and
fresh as could be.
That sounds
cool. I love really oysters. Cool. This is like something that's definitely on my wish list for this summer. So
absolutely. Yeah. And I have been to Sweet Amalia Market, and
I've never been.
It's so good.
Worth the drive.
Sweet Amalia.
She's already doing notes. I also have to plug, since we're talking about food and it's kind of my thing, that we do food tours in Philadelphia. So Tiny Table Tours, if you're looking for like a way to spend an afternoon that will maybe take you outside of your regular rotation of restaurants, Tiny Table Tours. We got tours all summer, so check them out.
Jason, I get the sense that you're going to really shine during our outdoorsy segment. Okay. However, you still got to eat to do a hike or whatever. Yeah. So give us some food recommendations.
Well, one of them is the Delaware Water Gap, the borough of Delaware Water Gap. It's sort of like it hits everything for me. There's outdoor, you're on the river. It's like the northwestern corner of New Jersey where it meets Pennsylvania. There's camping, canoeing, tubing. But the little borough of Delaware Water Gap has a ramen restaurant with its own sake brewery, and he claims to be the only sake distillery in the entire state. There's a little Appalachian Trail like farm stand that's famous for its apple pie and hot dog combo.
You can get sake, you can also get apple pie and hot dog.
Classic pairing.
Wait,
my goodness.
And what, when you say combo, I mean, you're eating them in the same bite? They're baked in together?
It just comes in the same plate.
Okay.
So okay.
One bite. Okay. Yeah. The Appalachian Trail has this history of like people having to eat certain meals at certain stops, and that's the meal to eat there.
Oh. Is it hot dogs and apple pie?
Yeah.
That sounds very American.
And there's also the oldest continuously running jazz club in America is in Delaware Water Gap. And it has a restaurant.
Man, this is a little borough, right? I mean, Delaware.
Yeah, it's tiny.
And it's got all this stuff just in this one little town.
Yeah. I love jazz. So is it worth, you can spend the whole day and then go to the jazz club in the evening.
Yeah.
I love it. Sake. Yeah. And a sake, can you tour the sake distillery?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Michael from Narberth shouts out Lake Wallampompack in the Poconos. Michael says it has great restaurants. I actually think that was on your list too, right, Jason?
Yeah. It takes a long time to be able to say Wallampompack.
Wallampompack.
Yeah. There's a great lakefront restaurant there. I think it's called The Dock near the Silver Birches Resort. Mm-hmm. And there's the town of Honesdale, which has become like one of the hipper towns in the Northeast. They have like a really great like American style restaurant called Native.
Cool.
It looks like should be in any major city in the U.S.
And it's a really that's cool a town. Big, I think, Delaware, Lake though. Lake Wallenpaumpack is big, right?
Yeah, it's like the second largest lake in the state.
Wow, cool. Wow.
Okay.
All right, you got a food recommendation for me, CG?
I do, and I am, you know, I'm an urban person. I love cities. So my little weekend getaway would be down to Baltimore. I would go down there. First of all, the reason why I'm big up in Baltimore is because you can always get better seats for comedy shows and concerts because it's a smaller city. I stay at the Ivy Hotel and brunch at this restaurant called Black Swan. And I love it because it's very cozy and they always have some type of musician playing like the violin or the cello or something every time you go. And the food is delicious. Mm. They have a lobster omelet.
I was waiting. I knew you had a dish. I was waiting for the dish. It's a lobster omelet.
Yeah. And they have good crab meals too. And, you know, Baltimore, I'm a Marylander. So originally. And so, you know, anytime you do that. And so that's a nice little city getaway.
Well, Maddie, I join you in being scooped here because I was also
you got scooped?
I was also going to take us to Baltimore, Maryland. Oh. I just feel this is my segment to shout out Baltimore. It's really close.
More.
Baltimore's close, man.
Charm City. Yes.
It's Charm City. Yeah,
I love Baltimore.
And there, yeah, first Baltimore's of all, cool. If you have like an outdoorsy spirit, there's so much of it's on the water, which I think there's that connection between city and nature there. And unlike Philadelphia, there's a lot to do. Along
there
the
is.
Water. Like our riverfront here can be a little hit or miss. Mm-hmm. But I love Baltimore. Harbor. Love getting away to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I'm going to shout out a spot called Ecky Ben. There's three Ecky Bens in Baltimore. And the concept is fusion.
Ooh.
And I know people roll their eyes at
what
fusion.
What's fused here?
It is Ethiopian and Asian fusion.
Oh.
And the location I've gone to is in a neighborhood called Fells Point. Beautiful neighborhood in Baltimore, and it's just like a takeout spot. I don't know if some of the other ones are sit down or not, but this one is just takeout.
You love a good takeout spot.
Total hole in the wall.
You really do.
Total hole in the wall. And I had a fried chicken sandwiched between two steamed buns, and the chicken was spiced with Ethiopian spices.
That sounds good.
One of my favorite sandwiches I've ever had, Ecky Ben in Baltimore.
And you've had a lot of sandwiches.
And I eat sandwiches a lot, and we're here in Philadelphia, so there's lots of good sandwiches, right? I mean, so this place, Ecky Ben, it was, as the kids say, fire.
Fire. I love it. And let's bring in another caller. We have Kate from South Jersey on the line. Kate, you're on Studio 2. What's your favorite spot to go to within a three-hour drive? Go right ahead.
Hi, I'd like to recommend Camelback Mountain up in the Poconos. In the winter, it's a ski area, but in the summer, they convert it into a water park with water slides and pools. Lots to do, lots going on for all ages of the family.
All right, Camelback, taking us to Camelback. Thanks so much, Kate. Keep those calls and comments coming, by the way. 888-477-9499. Our email is studio2@whyy.org. Or if you're on YouTube, leave a comment right there.
And by the way, we're getting trolled by Uniclay on YouTube.
Comments, have you guys heard about the Jersey Shore?
It's fun.
Thanks, Uniclay. But also, Kelly on YouTube says the Mahoning Drive-In, which is a drive-in movie theater.
Oh.
Jason, you're nodding your head. This place is great. People love that place. But we do have to go to a break right now. On the other side, we're going to talk about more outdoorsy stuff. So we've had our meal. We're full. We've got energy. Now
we need to burn it off.
Burn it off, folks. We're going to burn it off. On the other side of this break, you're listening to WHYY Studio 2. Stick with us. And welcome back, travelers, to Studio 2 on WHYY. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. And today we're talking about some of the best places outside of Philadelphia for a summer day trip. And we've been talking to Maddie Schweitzer-LeMay, a freelance food, beverage, and travel writer and founder of Tiny Table Tours. We also have Jason Dark, reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer, who writes about the outdoors and rural parts of Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
Get in on the conversation. What are the best spots to visit this summer within a three-hour drive? And no, Jersey Shore. The categories are food and drink, the great outdoors, and beating the heat. We're about to get to great outdoors. So if you've got one of those, definitely call in now. 888-477-9499. You can email studio2@whyy.org, or if you're on YouTube, howdy, drop a comment right there in the chat. So, outdoorsy here.
Yeah, and since, Jason, this is where you're going to shine, I know, because this is what you do. So give us your suggestion.
So I usually recommend the, like, pound for pound best state park probably in Pennsylvania is Ricketts Glen. It has a little bit of everything. There's a lake, ice cream, a waterfall hiking trail that's, like, one of the best maybe in the whole country, pound for pound. Like, you see dozens of waterfalls in the hike. And that's about 3 hours away. There's one near there called World's End State Park that I actually like even better. I must sort of, like, reluctantly tell people about it because it has, like...
But you're being like Danny now, man. You're gatekeeping. Don't gatekeep.
Yeah. It has a perfect swimming hole, hiking, camping. There's food nearby. The little snack stand serves Hershey's ice cream. That's really good. The blueberry cheesecake ice cream is amazing. It's, like, very seasonal.
Wow.
Yeah. I go there every year.
And so since outdoors is your jam, I want you to describe, like, what makes a great outdoor spot for you? What are the lists of things that they have to have in order for it to make Jason's list?
I really get a little deep into it. I, like, look for temperatures and
temperatures?
Like nighttime temperatures. I don't want to sleep when it's too hot. I look for water features. Mm-hmm.
Wait, what's a good nighttime temperature? What's the range you're looking
at? We need to know.
In the summer, like, if you can get down to the 60s, that's good sleeping weather.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, so that's good for camping, yeah.
Yeah. I look for water features, like creeks, swimming holes, lakes.
And then you have to have a good, seems like you have to have a good food stand or something.
Or you have to.
Some ice cream. Yeah.
There's always ice cream around.
Yeah.
Or you just make hot dogs over the fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Professor Dutch on YouTube says the Lehigh Valley for outdoor rec, tubing on the Delaware out of Easton, a town that has lots of history, festivals, great restaurants, cafes, bakeries, and more. Professor Dutch, I thought Professor Dutch was going to take us to, like, Amish country, but Professor Dutch took us up to the Lehigh Valley. So that's a great one. So, Maddie, let's turn to you.
Mm-hmm.
A little more outdoorsy. We're getting out of the restaurant now for a second. Outdoorsy. Where are you taking us?
I had to collaborate with Jason actually on this one because okay, I had a restaurant recommendation that's, like, near the nature, and I was like, what should we do? So here's what we came up with. I'm really excited this summer because the Sargentsville Inn has a new chef named Sean Gray. Guy's been working in New York forever. So their menu has been sort of reimagined. I'm really excited to go there during the day to work up an appetite. We will be going outside, and we were talking about maybe tubing on the river up near Frenchtown.
So would
you like to offer some more?
So this is up the Delaware River, kind of north of New Hope-ish. Sargentsville.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, like, a specific gap of the river where, like, tubing dominates. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's probably half dozen different outfitters, and you basically get drop in the river one side, usually with a cooler of beer, and float around in the cold water, and then get picked up at the other end.
And then go to this.
And then you go to the Sargentsville Inn for dinner.
And eat well.
Sunburn, usually.
Yeah, usually with a little bit of some good food. We want to bring in another caller. We have Becky from Yardley on the line, has an outdoor selection. Becky, you're on Studio 2. What's the best spot? 3 hours outside of Philly. Go ahead.
I would say start in Yardley or Morrisville. Bring your bike, or you can hire a bike. The towpath goes up the Pennsylvania side of the Delaware River through Washington Crossing Park, or cross over the Scudder's Falls Bridge, go up the Jersey side, and you can ride up to Lambertville. On the way there, stop at Route 29 and go to Mémé Colette, who has wonderful French pastries and really good, very good Bretagne crepes. If you keep biking,
I'm with
you. Becky has done this.
I'm peddling with you, Becky. Keep going.
I do this all the time. If you keep going up to Lambertville, a Wow Cow for ice cream, cross over to New Hope, and, you've got shopping, you've got lots of different places to eat, but, it's a really great. The trail, there's some places where you might have to go on the road for a little bit, but on both sides of the Delaware, it's really great. Mm. And you can take this all the way up to Easton.
All right.
Nice thing, Becky. In Stockton.
Yeah. So
Biking Becky with some great recommendations. Thank
Becky
you so much, Becky.
From Yardley. Thank you.
Joshua shouts out the camp. That was
She'll
amazing.
Be on the trail.
That was amazing. Joshua shouts out the Camp Out campground in the Poconos. It's friendly for LGBTQ campers, according to Joshua. So check that out. I'm going to keep us on the Delaware River.
Yes, go right
for
ahead.
For our outdoorsy one. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go a little further up, okay, guys? So I'm going to recommend a Delaware River canoe camping trip. Okay. Oh. I've done this starting around the East Stroudsburg area, which is a little further up the river, through a company called Adventure Sports. But I think other companies offer the same thing. Mm-hmm. Basically, you rent some canoes from the company. You pack all your camping gear into the canoes, cover it in a tarp, and then you camp. There are campsites along the river designated for canoe camping, and you spend a couple nights camping along the river, and then they meet you at a designated pickup spot and drive you back to your origin point. So for someone like me who doesn't have a lot of backwoods experience, mm-hmm. But wants to do something a little outdoorsy, the paddling is not hard here. You're in very
normal
old school canoes. We're not talking about rapids or anything like that. The camping is pretty easy as well. It's not like crazy terrain. But you are kind of out there, like, you know, you're without a car.
Are you paddling downstream? So you're basically floating.
You're basically floating.
That's what I'm into.
So most of us can do that. Yeah, I could float.
You throw a line in the river, let it drag for a few miles. Like, it's very easy. But there are some, if you know where to stop, there's some good places to stop along the river. And yeah, you just pitch your tent there, sleep there the night, get back in the canoe the next morning, keep going down the river. And I've done this with a big group of people for mm-hmm. a buddy's birthday, and it was a lot of fun. It's sort of so freewheeling. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. So mine, I went with a group of friends to Starlight, PA. It's in Wayne County, Pennsylvania, quaint little town. I drove out there. It's like you're driving up hills and mountains. And I stayed at the Falls of St. Miriam Retreat Center. It's nestled in between the Schroeder Mountain and Kingsbury Hill. There are these rolling hills. There's woods, there's lakes, there were waterfalls. We went hiking. It was absolutely beautiful. You can also go tubing nearby. Some of the folks went there. I didn't necessarily go, but they came back and there were rave reviews. I even have pictures of some of the waterfalls that were there. It was just a beautiful place. And the little retreat center, you could make your own food outside. You could go and do meditation. It was just a really wonderful thing. And I just love the name of the little city, Starlight.
That is gorgeous.
It's so gorgeous. It's about 3 hours, a little less than a three hour drive. No, they have little lodges and bed and breakfasts and little places where you can stay.
That sounds so cool.
And it was cool because of the tree cover that was there. And we went in August, so it was really hot everywhere else, but it just had this coolness when you go to Starlight.
Sounds very Gilmore Girls to me, you know, Starlight, PA. I could just see that being like Gilmore Girls too, and set in Starlight.
And I took my mom on this retreat, and she loved it too. Nice. And she's not really an outdoorsy person, but she went on the hike as well. It was nice.
Can I read in a great comment here? It's not outdoors, so we're just letting you know. But this is from Jason, who's kind of like Becky's got like a whole itinerary for us. Okay, so Jason says, myself and some friends that don't work traditional 9-to-5s have been fortunate enough to partake in what we call Wilming Tuesdays.
Love.
Wilming Tuesday. So on Tuesdays, a round trip Amtrak ride to Wilmington, Delaware costs only $25 and only takes about 25 minutes. Many Philadelphians have never considered Wilmington, Delaware as a place to go, but let me tell you, the train drops you off along the Riverwalk, where there are many bars and breweries. Less than a mile down the Riverwalk is a minor league baseball stadium. So for less than $100, you have a lovely day in Wilmington, Delaware, experience being somewhere new, not too far away, and you get a nice little train ride out of it. I like that. Wilming Tuesdays.
I like it. And by the way, shout out to Wilmington, Delaware. I lived there for a couple of years. It's a great city. It really is.
I have a dining rec. The best fried chicken I've ever eaten in my whole life is in Wilmington, Delaware. It's at a place called Waltz Flavor Crisp Chicken Express.
Why have I never heard of this?
Say the game again.
Waltz Flavor Crisp Chicken Express. There's a handful of locations, but there's one that I believe is walkable from downtown. So you could make it part of Wilming Tuesday. It's the best fried chicken I've ever had. And they also have really, really good sweet potato pie.
So how do you get on Maddie's list of best fried chicken? I mean, describe this chicken, please.
It's like when I bit into it, you could hear the crunch, you know, but the fried part stayed attached to the chicken, you know, like it didn't all fall off. It's like so, so juicy, perfect, crisp, incredibly well seasoned. These people know what they're doing.
That's why I had to ask. Okay.
You tested me and I passed, and I'm really relieved about that.
Dan LB2000 on YouTube shouts out a place that I love, Havre de Grace, Maryland, northeastern Maryland.
Yeah, I love that.
Cool shops and restaurants, historic sites, and it's right there along the Chesapeake Bay, which is really beautiful.
Yeah. Want to bring in another caller?
Sure, yeah, let's do it.
Cindy from Lafayette Hill is on the line. Cindy, you're on Studio 2. What is your favorite spot?
Hi, I recommend the city of Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, formerly called Namachunk, which is Lenape for the bear place. And if you go up there, you will see how the mountains look like sleeping bears. There's so much history from the railroad and coal industries. You can see the mansions of the barons of the railroad and coal industries. You can tour the mansions, and you see up Broadway, the main street where the workers used to live. And there's an old prison museum. There's the Azer Packer Mansion. There are music venues there. There's whitewater rafting.
It's
wonderful. You can start in Whitehaven, about 10 miles up, and go through the Lehigh River Gorge down to Jim Thorpe. Mm. There's a lot of biking and walking in the rails-to-trail system up there, and a lot of switchback trails from
where the
trains used to transport the coal.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
A lot of history, and it's beautiful.
That sounds great. And, of course, the history of behind why it's called Jim Thorpe, mm-hmm. by the way, is also quite
so
interesting and very contentious.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great town.
Yeah, Jason, you were nodding your head with this one for sure.
Yeah, I've been there a lot. It's very busy. It's hard to, on the weekends in the summer, there's traffic.
Yeah, so maybe a good place to get to for a weekday
if you can.
And I would sort of add the same about my experience with New Hope, which is a little closer in. Mm-hmm. I found weekends can get quite busy in New Hope.
It's been discovered. Yeah.
Oh, beyond discovered. Like Bradley Cooper's got like a mansion there.
I heard about that. Yeah. And it's become like an it spot. Yeah.
Yeah. It is an it spot. So that's a good note. Maybe if you're going to hit Jim Thorpe, try to not do at least
on a Monday.
A peak summer weekend for sure.
Yeah. They have a parking problem.
Really?
At Jim Thorpe. Oh, wow. Okay.
Should we transition now to Beat the Heat? And we actually have a caller to set us up here. This is Marta from Bethlehem, mm-hmm. who's got a place for us to beat the heat. Marta, what do you got?
Hi. I love your show. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, Marta.
All the time. So I love the Crayola experience in Easton. It's about an hour and a half north of Philly.
Oh.
I take my nieces and nephews there. It's air conditioned, so it's a really good place to beat the heat. You can make your own crayons, with your name on it. It's three floors of fun art activities and just a great place for both kids and big kids, i.e. adults who want to be kids again. So it's really neat. And the city of Easton is a very historic town, so it's in the downtown. And there are a lot of great restaurants right outside the Crayola experience that you can walk to, family-friendly. And then if you walk a little bit more, you have the Delaware River. There's a riverfront there, which is really pretty. So there's like really a lot going on in Easton. The Crayola experience is so much fun.
Look, that makes being an auntie so much easier when you can have fun while you're taking out the nieces and nephews. That's beautiful.
Yes.
I would love to go to Easton. Yeah. I hear so many good things about Easton. Yeah. By the way,
amazing town.
Yeah, hometown of Larry Holmes. Yeah, that's right. Former heavyweight champion.
There's a statue of him.
We're vibing, Marta.
You get that, too.
I love that.
Thank you, Marta, from Bethlehem. Thank you so much.
All right, we got to beat the heat, guys. We got to beat the heat. Maddie, you got something for us?
Yeah, when it's really hot, I like to have a cold drink. So my recommendation... We're vibing.
We're vibing. You and Marta. Oh my God.
So my recommendation is Galen Glen Winery out in the Lehigh Valley. Galen Glen was actually one of the first vineyards in the state of Pennsylvania to plant like European style white wine grapes. So we are not talking about like sweet, really cloying wines. We're talking about like really high quality European style wines. I'm particularly a fan of their Riesling, which is like delicious in the summertime. So you can go out there and you can tour the vineyard, and then they have a kind of like rotating schedule of food trucks and stuff, so you could make a day out of it. And they're actually also doing a 5K at the end of the summer. Wow. So opposite of beating the heat potentially, but you could run around the vineyards, which actually sounds really fun to me.
That sounds gorgeous.
And it sounds beautiful at the same time.
It's very pretty. It's like rolling hills and the wine is incredible. You'll see it on menus across the city of Philadelphia too.
Yeah, I want to read this comment from Aaliyah who says, Chester County Hot Air Balloon Festival is this weekend. Bring your beach chairs and blankets. They have food trucks. But you're welcome to bring your own picnic lunch. Watch as the balloons are filled and then take off. That sounds like a cool thing to do.
Every time I open my mouth, it's a hot air balloon festival. So, you know, I'm used to that. So we want to keep beating the heat. And I want to tee you up, Jason. But Judy, by the way, just want to shout this out. Judy on Facebook really agrees about Ricketts Glen.
Wow.
Says their family camped there when they were a kid. Amazing hikes. Spectacular falls.
So love it.
Re-shouting out Ricketts Glen. Okay, we got to beat the heat here, Jason. I know you love to be outside.
Yeah.
Are you still keeping us outside and we're beating the heat somehow? Or are you taking us indoors?
Well, I've got, like I said, I got really obsessed about beating the heat while being outdoors. I've like talked to climatologists at Penn State to find like the coldest places in Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
I'm interested in that.
There's a town called Lopez that bills itself as the ice box of Pennsylvania.
Lopez,
and
Pennsylvania.
What are the temperatures there? Yeah.
There's nothing there.
It's just cold. It's cold. Except the cold.
Yeah. Like 50s. They can get down to like the 50s in the summer.
I'm on my way.
And that's at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50s. Wow.
But I was going to mention, there's a place in North Jersey that I've been to where you can ski indoors. I mean, it sort of gives you an outdoors feel, but it's at one of the largest malls in the world, I think. And
have you hit the slopes there ever?
I've watched
that's
my
what
son.
I would do.
Yeah, I've watched my son and daughter ski there.
And it was a ball. It was great. Yeah.
30 degrees. Got to wear a jacket.
Okay.
And there's a water park there, too.
Nice.
All right. Well, let's take a caller. We have Stephanie from Westchester on the line. Stephanie, you're on Studio 2. What's your favorite spot within a three-hour drive?
We love Cherry Crest Adventure Farms in Ronks, Pennsylvania. It's fantastic for families with small children. You can spend the day there, obviously. You can make a weekend out of it in Amish country. But there's just so much to do. They have a giant corn pit instead of a sandbox. It's a corn pit. They have a quad bicycle track. I don't even know how to explain it, where you can race around. They have those giant slides you would see at a carnival where you race down in a burlap sack. You have to crawl all the way up the hill, so you get a good workout. They have a little tractor pull where you can hold the tractors and see how strong you are and try to pull them up the hill. It's just a great family spot. They have ice cream. They have fried chicken, great lemonade. Mm. And it's extremely, extremely new parent friendly. They have an air-conditioned nursing room. So that
is,
I had a four-month-old, was a godsend last summer. And they're stocked with like a diaper changing station. We forgot the wipes in the car. They already had them there. And there's also a little playtown inside with a fake ice cream stand, a fire station, a grocery store, et cetera. So very family friendly for small kids.
All right.
Cherry
Stephanie.
Crest Adventure Farm. I love that.
And look, you know, Stephanie had all the deets because all of the little things matter, especially when you have small children. And so mine is, well, I'm from Washington, D.C., and full disclosure, my uncle used to be a tourmobile driver. So when on the weekends, he would babysit us and we would ride around in the tourmobile.
And this is like a bus that goes
around D.C.
sites. A bus
that takes you to D.C. sites. So every summer, I go down and I visit the museums in Washington, D.C., the Smithsonian Museums. It's a great way to beat the heat because they're all air conditioned. And you can choose two of them because it's hard to do more than two in a day. It's about a 2.5 hour drive. My favorite museums, of course, the National Museum of African American History and Culture. You need a ticket. They are free. The Air and Space Museum is amazing. Also, the Portrait Gallery. I love it. And it's one of those places you get lost in. The portraits are so gorgeous. And I pick two. And, you know, there's so many different ones you can go to. I pick two. I go every year and I check out the Mystics while I'm down there because I love WNBA basketball. So
love the Mystics.
Make a whole weekend of it.
Let's read in some other suggestions here. We've got some good ones for beating the heat. Teresa on, I guess this is YouTube, says Swerve's BBQ next to Westville Brewery. Perfection, OMG. The mean beans are incredible.
Mean beans.
George says Pinchot Forest in the Poconos, 2 hours from Philly. Great spot for over 30 miles of hiking trails and camp areas. Way underused by the public. And George claims always 10 degrees cooler. Jason Ark's going to take his thermometer out there and test you on that, George. And let me also shout out Slow Food, who emailed us and said the Hagley Museum, which is a classic in the region. So I will give my beat the heat one, which is, it's a little bit of a cheat because it's sort of semi outdoors, but usually It takes place at night.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a minor league baseball game. A minor league baseball game. They're cheap. Mm-hmm. There's lots of great options in the region. They've got minor league teams in Harrisburg, Lehigh Valley. Wilmington was already brought up. Lakewood, Aberdeen, Maryland, a lot more. You could do a whole summer tour just doing minor league baseball.
Oh.
I am personally going to recommend the Reading Fightin' Phils in Reading, Pennsylvania. They're the AA affiliate of the Phillies, so you can see some of the future Phillies in a smaller, cheaper venue before they become, you know, Phillies. It's a historic stadium, been around since the 1950s. And, of course, it's minor league baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got lots of great giveaways and theme nights and fireworks and stuff for the kids. Back in 1999, quick story, the Reading team had a 50s theme night, like a greaser.
What people wear? Yeah, I want to hear that.
So they invited. I don't have pictures, but they invited a troupe of local theater kids who were at the time doing a performance of Grease to this Reading minor league game. On the same night, the anthem singer for the national anthem did not show up. So they asked the troupe of theater kids, "Would one of you like to sing the anthem?" And a 9-year-old girl stepped up and said she'll do it. And that girl is Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Yeah.
I knew this was going to end with Taylor Swift.
You've got to throw Taylor
that
in
that was
there.
For producer Paige, our local Swiftie. And so, by the way, so minor league baseball, you never know what future stars you will see, baseball or
otherwise.
And you
probably can get some really, I love minor leagues and G leagues and stuff because you get to get the really good seats that you might not be able to get if you
Absolutely.
Went to the major leagues. By the way, I want to bring in another caller. We have Emma from North Philly. Emma, you're on Studio 2. What's your favorite spot within a 3-hour drive? Hey, Emma. We don't seem to have
Emma.
So I
think, could I just say what it was? I think it was Shankweiler Drive-In Theater in Lehigh County. That sounds like a lot of fun. I don't know what it is, but it sounds fun.
It sounds fun. Let's go to
the oldest.
That's the oldest drive-in.
In the country.
Wow.
The oldest continuous.
The oldest continuous.
And the thing is, they've been going away. So this is your chance to enjoy a drive-in. So how about Mary from Wilmington is on the line. Mary, you're on Studio 2. What's your favorite spot within a 3-hour drive outside of Philly?
Old Newcastle in Delaware.
Oh, shout out Delaware.
We're going to stick with the idea of the Delaware River, I guess. It's got a lot of historic significance. It looks and feels a lot like Society Hill without the traffic and as many people. It has the old Newcastle Historical Society gives tours on Saturday and Sunday. They're not very expensive. I think they're $8. And you can get a little bit of history. It was actually a major port before the Brits took over. So worth seeing. There's a place for the kids to play, Battery Park. There's a vegetarian restaurant that I couldn't recommend more called Mercury Cafe.
All right.
And for carnivores, there's Jessup's Cavern, which also gives you an opportunity to feel like you're back in colonial times. Great place. You can also hike or bike 6 miles between there and the Riverwalk if you really want it to be ambitious.
Nice. Mary from Wilmington taking us to Old Newcastle. And I'll just add on, because Mary brought up taverns, I feel like for beat the heat spots in the summer, breweries.
Yeah.
There's lots of breweries all over
PA. And
they're
cool. Yeah.
There's like Trogues in Hershey, PA is one I've been to. Yeah.
I love it. Tavia comments, Aquaba's Mansion at Nobel Lane, Bed and Breakfast in the Poconos. Marcia comments, I just love going south to Middleburg, Virginia to visit the Salamander Middleburg Resort and Spa. The little town is full of great shopping and restaurants. People have been talking about the Salamander place. I'm like, I got to put that on the list and go check it out. Email from Kristen who says the city town of Bethlehem was just voted the nicest main street in America. Who knew? Loads of history and eateries, etc. Also, Allentown has Dorney Park and Wild Water Kingdom.
Yeah, I got to shout out Dorney Park. Mm-hmm. Any closing thoughts from either of you, Maddie or Jason, about just like what you're looking for in a day trip? What do you think, guys?
I don't like to go too far, to be honest. 3 hours is a little ambitious, I think. But
yeah.
I'm thinking about, I mean, it's all about keeping it within an hour, eating hot dogs and ice cream.
There you go.
That's what I'm focused on.
Maybe throw
summer.
A little wine and some fried chicken in
Absolutely.
There. And you're like,
yeah.
This just got brought up at a meeting this morning, and I was going to remember to say it, but the amusement park Knoebels.
Yes, someone mentioned that.
Pound for pound, the best ever, and they've won like best amusement park food like 25 times.
So that's important. What stands out about Knoebels to you?
Well, they're really like old school rides, classic rides. It's free to get in. It's like a boardwalk thing. You sort of buy the tickets. You can go in and walk around.
So it's
around.
Like sort of Coney Island, but in PA.
They have like a ridiculous amount of pierogies.
Pierogies everywhere you go.
Yeah, like different kinds. And I'm Polish, so it's like I try them
I'm
all.
Down.
Mm-hmm. I'm there for the pierogies at the very least. So we do have to close the show today. So many great suggestions, Paulina.
And the thing is, I had never heard of many of these suggestions. Yeah. So I feel like my list is of places to go has gotten a lot longer.
Just a few others. Melanie, Lost River Caverns in Hellertown. Peter, Pine Grove, Furness. Paulina, Long Pond, PA. Melanie, Ringing Rock State Park near Lehigh Valley and Frenchtown. They all sound amazing. Also, so many great names. And I do have to shout out Jay, who just says Manhattan is a vibe.
And it is.
Technically, Manhattan is within 3 hours.
But hot.
But definitely not cool.
And yeah. And one of our editors says New York stinks. I'm like, but Manhattan is a vibe. But go ahead.
Manhattan sure is a vibe. Let's vibe out to our DJ of the day to close today. Let me thank you first, Jason Narc. Thanks. And Maddie Schweitzer-LeMay. You guys were awesome.
Thanks for having me.
This hour. The DJ of the day is Aaron from Mayfair in Northeast Philly, who went with our day trip theme and says, my favorite car jam for road trips for 20 years has been Stick Shifts and Safety Belts by Cake. Let's hear it.
Let's hear this.
But when we're driving in my Malibu, it's easy to get right next to you. I say, baby, scoot over.
That's the perfect way to end a week here on Studio 2, which is produced by Debbie Builder, Paige Marie Bessler, and Andreas Copes. Mike Shipler is our visual producer. Al Banks and Tina Calicay engineered today's show. Our executive producer is Kevin McCrory. Joan Isabella is WHYY's audio general manager. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. See you next week on a Monday.